With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's life going?
It's going.
Yep, that's pretty much all I can say here too. It's a gloomy, rainy day, as usual around this time of the year. I'm glad to see that you're not being completely shuttered with sunlight as you normally are.
Makes me feel a little better. Don't speak too soon, though. Yeah.
Oh, the UK is always cloudy, and it's always sunny whenever we record.
Well, I guess the thing is that this kind of fits in with the theme of today's episode, because if you don't like your surroundings, then you can just turn your digital crown and enter a different environment.
Which is exactly what I've been doing this week, as I have finally been testing the Apple Vision Pro with M5, and you also got to test it out a little bit. So let's start with your thoughts, because I feel like as someone who had it and then returned it and you weren't necessarily sold quite yet, does the M5 chip and any of the new experiences with Vision OS 26, does anything change for you?
It definitely does change. And I was fairly impressed. So I guess we should break it down feature by feature here, because it's not a huge amount. I mean, the first one is obviously the M5 chip, which is really driving the majority of these upgrades. But in terms of performance, I don't know about you, but I really did notice just how much faster the M5 makes things, whether that's widgets loading in, whether that's just app load times. I even converted some photos to spatial photos. That is now pretty much instant. And everything across the system feels dramatically faster, to the point that if you do want to use Vision Pro for productivity, I feel like it is a lot more viable now.
Absolutely. Yeah, the M5 really does just take care of a lot of the like bottleneck points of Vision Pro, which it wasn't like slow, but you never really realized how slow some of these things were until you try this. Like, creating personas is so much of a faster process now. Being able to, like you said, basically have near instantaneous spatial photos made out of photos that were not, all of that just feels so much better. Even Mac Virtual Display and the pixels that are increased now, and being able to see more, the foveated rendering just seems, I don't know, like it's hardly even there. Like everything just seems very crisp. It's a much better experience than what it was before.
That's very interesting, actually. This is something I wanted to talk about, was the displays. Because, of course, the actual physical displays are the same as in the M2 model. There are very few hardware changes going on here. And the display improvements are driven by the M5 chip. And it does two things. The first of those is the foveated rendering enables 10% more pixels. So very slightly more of the image that you're looking at is rendered. And also the refresh rate is 20 hertz faster. So it goes all the way up to 120 hertz, which is what we're used to on many other devices, whether that's the iPad Pro or the iPhone or your MacBook Pro. And I wasn't expecting to be able to tell a difference with both of those things, but I definitely could. The displays noticeably looked not sharper, but I was aware that more of the image was sharper, just ever so slightly. And when it came to things like scrolling, especially when scrolling at speed and moving things around very quickly. I mean, especially when you pinch to grab a window and you move it around quite a large distance. I was aware that that felt more responsive. And of course, mm-hmm. when you're totally immersed in this environment, it actually matters so much more. And I think one of the things I mentioned to you going back over a year now that I didn't like about the first Gen Vision Pro was there was a sluggishness about it. And a lot of that I attribute to the gestures, but I now realize part of it actually was the M2 chip. And so all of this for me was incredibly positive.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think that like from a performance standpoint, I don't think there's really anything more that you can ask for with the current hardware now. I think everything's pretty much in line. You got what a lot of the people were complaining about, I think has been sufficiently improved upon. And now it's just up to Vision OS to kind of catch up. And I feel like there's a lot of good in Vision OS 26. Before we started, we were talking about personas. I'm going to say I'm putting out a video. It's going to be out today. So by the time you're watching this or listening to this, you'll be able to go see it. Go take a look at my persona from the first day I got Vision Pro. What was it? February something, 2024. Go look at that persona compared to the one that I created a couple of days ago and just look at the dramatic improvement. And this is not an M5 thing. What does get attributed to the M5 and the persona process is the setup. It was not super slow, but it wasn't the best. It just does take a little bit of time to generate. This is so responsive, so much faster, and that's thanks to M5. But the look of your persona is a lot of software and a lot of Vision OS 26 that's enhancing how much better. And it has improved over the years, but like, I'm just looking at the first one that I've done to right now. And I mean, a lot of it is my appearance has also changed a little bit over the last, you know, nearly 2 years. I've lost some weight, so that definitely helps. But I mean, my goodness, there's a huge change. It just looks so much more lifelike. The 5 o'clock shadow that I had when I did it, like the details of my face. I have a birthmark here. Not sure if people have noticed that. That was much more present, like compared to what I was working with before. It just like didn't have any definition in my face. And part of that is just the way I looked at the time, but also it was just the way it was being processed. It didn't look super great. And now it just feels so much more lifelike. And on top of that, I had a briefing with Apple on the Vision Pro, and we did it through FaceTime together. And with this new persona and the way it just feels more lifelike and everything. And this was the first time I've done this in a while, because I don't know many people that still have their Vision Pro. So I can't go and FaceTime with other personas just on command. It's an eerie feeling because of how realistic the other people do feel and how weird it is that we were just in the middle of Mount Hood, like having a conversation in a professional environment, but like not really from the settings that you're in. But like seeing how, you know, I know some of these people personally and seeing them in their persona, it just felt like we were there and we were doing like high fives, and like you get that feeling, that fake feeling that you actually could high five the other. It's cool and it's weird, but it's so much more improved than what it was before that I have to say, for those who trash Apple with Apple Vision Pro, I'm sorry, but this is still one of the leading like products in this class for some of these things, for a lot of these things. And one last thing on that note, they brought in a Vision Pro to like go over the Vision Pro. So there's a 3D model that looked and like just I can finally see the sense of like how enterprises and businesses actually use this and just how useful that would be, because I work by myself. I don't need to be looking at a 3D model with somebody else and discussing things like that. But in this instance, this was one of the very first times I did that. It was cool. They were showcasing a Vision Pro while I'm wearing one and being able to show you how the new dual knit band works and how all of these things. And I can really get a sense of just the feeling of, oh, these people are in a room with me and they have a real Vision Pro in their hand. That's how it felt. So it does make a lot of sense why a lot of people who do use this for work really like it, because it is something that you can't really achieve without actually being in real life personally. So those are my thoughts on that.
I totally agree. And I think the difference with the new version of personas is dramatic. There's always, to some extent, going to be a bit of an uncanny valley experience with these, probably at least for the next few years. Mm-hmm. But considering how far they've come, I think that they are maybe 90% of the way toward being totally lifelike now. They are nearly there. Like, I would not feel uncomfortable having a quick FaceTime call using this. I think if I had a Vision Pro and I got an incoming FaceTime call and I knew it was going to be just 10 minutes, I'd be okay to just take that call. Would I want to do that for an hour, for a prolonged call, for a serious call with family or friends? Probably not. But it's getting there. Previously, I would not have wanted to do it. I did actually have a FaceTime call when I had my Vision Pro with some of my friends, and I was the only one using a Persona, and it was pretty awful. Those screenshots live on to this day.
Well, that was early on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never going to live down mine either. My Persona, literally, we've talked about this before. The comment of someone saying I look like a thumb has been ingrained into my brain forever. I'll never forget that. One of the meanest, but also hilarious and most true comments I've ever seen. And every time I see that picture, and if you guys go check out the video, it is probably even the thumbnail that we use, because we have one of them just showcasing the drastic difference. Like, it's crazy. It's so much better now than what it was, but then. So if you tried it then, I implore you to go try it again, because it is so much better. And it's only been a year, and there really hasn't been any hardware improvements aside from the M5. And like I said, for some of this stuff, this isn't M5. This is just innovation and implementation of new software features that are leading to these developers who are doing a fantastic job with Vision OS making things better. And one more thing on the Persona, and like being, you know, they kept talking about, they did like a slideshow, you know, that was cool. Like, I totally understand the work aspect. What I want to experience now is like watching a TV show with somebody, you know, doing share play and things with somebody who has a Vision Pro. Because again, I don't really know anyone that I want to do this stuff with. But hopefully in the future, maybe that'll be something. Maybe, you know, I'll have a secondary unit and I'll give it to my wife. And when I'm traveling for work and I'm not there for, you know, a whole week at a time, we can watch a show at night, you know, from the comforts of our locations. And it does kind of feel like you are in that room with that person and enjoying that time. So, you know, it's a good device for these very specific and, dare I say, niche instances. But like, I just don't know how else you can get that same feeling without actually being in the room with that person. Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Notion. You know how there's only one of you, only so many hours in a day, and only so much focus to go around? What if you had a teammate that could work just like you do with all of your context, but faster? That's exactly what Notion's new AI agent feels like. It's built right into Notion, and it can do anything you can do there. Organizing projects, writing summaries, even automating tasks that normally take hours. For me, it's been a total game changer, especially with the Mac Rumors channel and videos and podcast episodes. Instead of spending hours digging through my notes or emails and scripts, the Notion agent just gathers all of that info into one page, structures it, and even drafts ideas for questions or topics. It's like having a production assistant that already knows how I work. Notion brings all of your notes, docs, and projects into one connected space that just works. It's seamless, flexible, powerful, and it's actually fun to use. And now, with Notion Agent, your AI doesn't just help with work, it finishes it. Your agent taps into your workspace, the web, tools like Slack and Google Drive, to actually complete the tasks that you assign from start to finish while you focus on the bigger stuff. So if you're ready to offload some of your busy work and let your new AI teammate handle it, try Notion with Notion Agent at notion.com/macrumors. That's all lowercase, notion.com/macrumors, to try your new AI teammate today, Notion Agent. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. Notion.com/MacRumors. Thanks, Notion, for sponsoring this episode.
I think that my conclusion about all of this is there are some issues here, and we'll get into that. But I think it's worth pointing out at this stage that I wish that this is what Vision Pro was like when it launched. Mm-hmm. There is so much more immersive content available now. It's more comfortable, as I'm sure we'll discuss. And the hardware is a lot more capable, but just generally there's content, and the experiences that are there feel more finished. Even the gestures have improved. The way that you went to the home screen when Vision Pro first came out was singularly by clicking in the digital crown. That was the only way you could get access to the home screen. Now you just flip your hand over, which is more natural.
You do this and a little dot appears. You tap that. Yeah, and then you flip your hand over.
The idea is you don't need to lift your hands up.
Yeah.
And that makes so much more sense. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes me question, why wasn't all of this stuff there at launch? I mean, even the reputation of Vision Pro being uncomfortable, I maintain I still think it is uncomfortable. It is still too heavy. And by the time I finished my demo, I had it on for the full half hour. By the end, I was glad to take it off. Mm-hmm. But I will concede it was a lot better. And could I imagine myself watching a movie with it on now? Probably. I probably could get through that now in a way that before I just couldn't. It was just needlessly uncomfortable. I didn't see why I'd want to put myself through it. And that's kind of what frustrates me, because I don't think Vision Pro would have quite got the reputation it has got for lacking content, being uncomfortable, not being sufficiently useful, if all of this stuff had been there at launch, or if Apple had delayed its launch and maybe not announced it at WWDC in 2023 and instead announced it in 2024.
Yeah, I kind of stand by the fact that I feel like Apple was just pressured to do it, and that it was not ready, but it was ready enough. I mean, I'm sure everyone who works there will push back on it, but I would suggest maybe you don't, because this gives you an out as to why it wasn't so great. I mean, it was still really, and that's the sad thing. It's like, it was still really good for us to be like, yeah, this is one of the best headsets I've ever tried. But to Apple standards and to what we were expecting, and then how you see the improvements now, it's like, oh, well, they should have launched like this. But you know, every product is like that. It's a Gen 1 product. Apple's learning, and maybe they really were ready and they thought it was great. And it was good, but now it's borderline great, but with the caveat of still too heavy. I have a problem going more than an hour, even with the new dual knit band, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's significantly better than what it was before, like you said. And it's just not something that I want to wear for more than an hour, even if it was comfortable, because I want to come back to reality. And, you know, but it is good for what I want to use it for. And the content is finally starting to beef up a little bit. Apple showcased the new Moto, the motocross content that was made, the immersive. And that's for the first time a third party production. It's not from Apple. It's made for Apple Vision Pro, but it's not done by them. So that is something that is finally starting to take off a little bit. We're going to get more and more of this. And then it will be, you know, hopefully more appealing to the masses. Honestly, though, at this point, if I would still not recommend the normal person buy it unless you have $3,500 to spare and you don't care about it. But if Apple priced this anywhere under $2,000, $1,750 maybe, match what the new Samsung Galaxy XR or whatever it's called. If you match that price, I feel like they would sell infinitely more of these, just way more of the casual people who are interested. And that's really the biggest thing.
I agree. I think ultimately it comes down to price. But the other thing I would note there is that I think part of what frustrated me with Vision Pro, and to some extent still does, is the way that it has been marketed. And I think this has caused some level of disenchantment about the device that's actually misplaced, because the device itself is incredible. The hardware is incredible. It's one of the best headset experiences you can have. And at the things that it is good at, it is really good at.
Yeah.
But the problem is that Apple told us that the future was spatial computing. And the way that it presented that to us was with things like, you will decide to put your headset on when you want to meditate. You will put your headset on when you want to look at spreadsheets in Microsoft Excel. And those are the sorts of examples that they gave us. And even with personas, they told us, this is how you will want to make a FaceTime call. But actually, I feel like the argument would have been so much stronger to say, Yes, this is not for everyone. This is a professional device. This will be useful for architects and designers. And here's the new Logitech stylus accessory that works so well for that. It's great for watching movies. Look at all this immersive content. It's great for looking through your photos. It's also especially good for Mac virtual display. And if you travel and you need access to a larger display area, or you work with sensitive content and you want to be able to work with privacy, those are the things that this device is good at. But these are the things that Apple was quiet about, relatively speaking, or didn't have the content available. And instead, it's showing us meditations. And you can go in there and go on the mindfulness app and look at shapes floating around you while your face is hurting and distracting you from trying to not think about anything while you're meditating. And I just think, why did they overshoot by telling us that this was like the Apple Watch, that this is something that everyone can buy and fits into your life seamlessly, when actually this is something that does not fit into everyone's life? This fits into a very small minority of people's lives, and those people will love it and get great use out of it, but it's still a minority of people. And I think that even that's what made the price so controversial as well, because people don't really complain about the price of the Mac Pro. You don't really see that all the time, but
well, no one's buying that either.
The Mac Pro is for a different market of people.
Sure. That's also a very niche item. I think the price is the price. Like, I get it. And it's not going to come down until Apple can reduce the quality of the materials that are used and be able to make a profit on it, regardless of how many units they sell. But if you can still deliver the same experience while putting it in, and I hate to say this because I just got it yesterday and I haven't had a chance to like do anything with it, but I did take it out of the box and look at it. But Samsung's new headset, I'm going to be fair to it because I really do want to give it a shot. And I am not a biased person. Yes, we cover Apple. We work for MacRumors. I do not have any stake in Apple. I do not care whether they do well or not. I like their products. I use them for work. I want all tech to be innovative across all platforms. I am a fan of Android stuff. This headset feels cheap. It just does, compared to the Vision Pro. And I think everyone would agree with that for the most part. Now, if the experience, which again, I have not tried, so I want to preface that, and I will at some point have a video, hopefully by early next week, talking about my experience with that one. I hope it's good, because I'm not impressed with the materials, because I'm coming from something that almost costs double. So, you know, it does make sense. I'm not saying anything crazy here, but yeah, I mean, if Apple can figure out a way to still make it feel more premium than that, but they can match the materials that are used so that it's going to save their bottom line or whatever they need, then yeah, I think you can have a real hit on your hands. But I just don't know if that's possible. So we shall find out. Do you want to talk about the dual nip band, by the way?
Yes. So I was very impressed by the mechanism that involves.
Yeah, so nice.
I think when I first saw this unveiled, mm-hmm. I assumed that it was maybe the top was only elasticated and the back was what you continue to tighten, just like the Solo loop from the first mm-hmm. generation. But it isn't. You can actually tighten both the piece that goes over your head and the piece that goes over the back of your head. And the way you do that is by pulling out the dial on the side. So when it is set to one position, it tightens one of the headbands. And when it is tight, when it's the dial is in the other position, it tightens the other one. Yep. And this enables you to have a lot of very fine control over the exact feeling of that headband. And it does make it a lot more comfortable. The counterweights also, I think, do a lot of work. I was aware that there was a lot less pressure on my cheekbones. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, this is really what it should have launched with, but it does make, for all that it is heavy, it makes the most of that design.
Yeah, I think people were taking two single knit bands or whatever. What were they called before? Just, is that what it was called?
Solo loops, I think, solo, just like the Apple Watch.
Whatever.
Or solo knit band. It was something like that.
The original knit band, people were taking two of them and figuring out ways to connect them and then basically making the same thing, which is pretty much all that this is, although it does have counterweights now in the back, which we'll talk about. But yeah, I didn't realize how to do anything because I didn't set it up yet. I just took it out and put it on. And so when you do buy one with the knit band, the dual knit band included, it will go through how to do it. But when you're just doing it blindly, I was like, this isn't any more comfortable. Like, this actually is kind of worse. I think this kind of sucks. And then I accidentally popped out the little thing. And then I was like, wait, what just happened? And I turned it and noticed that the top part was being adjusted. And I'm like, oh, this is over-engineering at its
finest.
And
you could use that to lift it up now and lift it off your cheekbones.
Yes.
It does change things quite dramatically.
It's so much better. But I will say, after about 45 minutes, I still had like, okay, get this thing off of me. I don't think we're ever going to fix that until you make this thing significantly lighter overall.
I think there's a few issues with that. I think that it actually maybe could have done with slightly stronger counterweighting, because they're pretty subtle. It's just these little tubes of tungsten that have been woven into that back piece. But it still is very heavy. And the other thing that I was very aware of was the field of view. I'd forgotten before this demo quite how narrow the field of view is to what you expect. So it does kind of feel that you're looking at everything through binoculars, and you're very aware of this kind of black outline. And you feel like that almost makes everything further away. That to me makes me feel a little bit more claustrophobic and makes me want to take it off a little bit more. Whereas if I felt more immersed, if my field of view was more filled by what I'm seeing on the displays, I don't think that would be the case. And also the fact that because pass-through isn't that great, it's still quite grainy, a little blurry, it's not very good in low light, that also does kind of make you crave the real world a little bit more. And I feel like if there was a combination of these things, if it was lighter, if pass-through was better, and if the field of view was wider, that would also kind of relieve the psychological tension as well as the physical issue of just how heavy it is.
I think the next step to help with some of the like pass-through issues, because the biggest thing for me is trying to look at another device real quick. Like if my phone goes off and I don't have a notification that can go on to Vision Pro, like I pick it up, like what am I supposed to do there? Like I can't see. It's so disorienting to look at. I think the next thing is we need iPhone mirroring. Like you really do need iPhone mirroring on this Vision Pro. That's just my personal suggestion. Maybe that'll be a feature that comes down the road. Because like trying to get a verification code and you have to look at another device to do it, like it was hard to read. I'm not going to take the headset off. I don't know.
We have notifications from the iPhone on the Mac now. We have Mac mirroring, iPhone mirroring on the Mac. So if you click one of those notifications, it pops up. And it really should be able to have some solution for that. The same goes for the Apple Watch if you just glance down. All of this makes me wonder if Apple hadn't moved all of their resources away from headsets and toward smart glasses, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I would love to see what Apple would have been able to do maybe in the middle of next year with all of its efforts invested in Vision Pro. If it had looked at this device again and thought, okay, let's remove the eyesight feature, because clearly it's been a little bit controversial. It looks a bit silly. You still feel very isolated when you're using it. This is not a battle we can win. Let's bring the price down and let's bring the weight down. Change the materials. Maybe try and improve the field of view just a little bit, and bring the price down just a little bit as well, even if they could only bring it down by maybe $1,000 and it was at $2,500. That device would be so much better, I think. And it wouldn't take a huge amount to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. Actually, the Galaxy XR has a bunch of cameras on the front. Like, I mean, and they figured out a way. I think it really is just like, do we need aluminum all over and all this fancy glass? And, you know, there's got to be a way to do it. And maybe the cameras have to be reduced a little bit so that, like, I don't know. I don't want the cameras to get worse, because that is the problem that we're trying to fix. But it's not perfect, like we talked about, but it's definitely getting better. And I just want to see a proper generation two. I don't know. I don't know what they're even calling this, the new Vision Pro, but it's really not that new.
This doesn't count as a second generation.
No, but
it looks
like we won't
be getting another one till 2028 or later.
Right. So I was going to say, I feel like they're kind of talking about it like it is a new Vision Pro, you know? I don't know.
I mean, I had some interesting conversations in the Apple store when I went to try it out. So when I went to use it, they said to me, oh, have you used a Vision Pro before? And I said, yes, I've used it quite a bit. I had one last year. And they said, just so you know, the new one isn't any different. And I said, well, I'm interested to see if, you know, some of the things are different. I'm aware that, you know, there's a new headband. The display should look a little bit different if you look closely. We had a conversation about all this, but their opinion was that it's essentially no different. And there are another couple of funny things that they said, because I was on a table with it was three other employees, and one of them was running a demo as well. So there was this kind of broader conversation going on. They said that they sold a Vision Pro the day before, and it was like, it was this amazing thing in the store, because they just never sell one. And they were still so amazed. They were like, maybe we'll get two in a row. Maybe it was so rare that we'd sell one. Maybe we'll actually sell two. And so that was pretty funny. And the other thing was, they were talking about Meta Ray-Bans and how they think that Meta Ray-Bans are a better product. And I was pretty shocked that people that were trying to sell this product to the two of us that were having these demos were pretty much saying, like, we've got these headsets, we don't use them, we're not going to upgrade to the new one, and realistically, Meta Ray-Bans are a more worthwhile purchase at a lower price.
And they're just different products, though.
Also, they are different products, but like, it's interesting that that's where I didn't bring them up. These are Apple employees that are responsible for selling these devices, and they themselves are pointing out that, like, that's where the market's going, and that's what they're interested in. That's the kind of product they want to be selling, and that's what they feel obligated to bring up, which I thought was fascinating.
I get a sense that Apple Store employees do not like the Vision Pro. I told you that when I have been going in over the last, you know, since it came out to now, every time I go in Apple Store, I do see people demoing it. Did I mention last week that I talked to the Apple Store employee and someone bought one and they're like, we haven't seen anyone purchase this ever. So it was very much the same exact thing that you just said. And I'm like, wow, okay, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. But I do see people wearing them. I wonder if they just don't want to go through the entire, because it is a 30-minute process. And I wonder if they're just
do you want us to do the demo or not? And I was like, well, I do know how to use it. And they said, just do what you want. You know, we're here.
So they're very much over that whole process.
I just had free reign for the whole half hour, which is pretty good for me, because like, I know how to pinch to zoom with it and whatever. So it was actually nice to be given a bit of free reign to dive into some third party apps and do what I want. I mean, they will let you do that, because these demos are not designed primarily for people that just want to try it. They are designed for people that are going to buy it. And if you're going to drop this much money on this device, you will want to be able to try things out for an extended period. I think the other guy that I was there with, he must have been there in that demo for like 50 minutes. so many questions, trying everything out. And I assumed he must have been... I got the sense that he was actually considering buying it for like work or for something serious. And it goes to show those people do exist. I didn't stay long enough to see if he actually ended up buying it in the end.
You need to go back and ask.
But when I walked back past the store like 20 minutes later, he was still there.
That's awesome. He was probably just watching a TV show. He was like, well, I'm going to get my money's worth here and see how good this is. Yeah. That's really funny. Yeah, I get a sense that Apple Store employees just are done giving this demo and they're like, you just do whatever you want to do. And honestly, I would prefer that. And I know that I'm maybe in a minority case here, but like, and this might sound bad, but there's nothing worse than like going into a tech store where it's your job to cover this and you already know what it is that they're trying to explain and walk you through a demo and you're like, I don't want to be rude and I definitely don't want to say what it is that I do, because it just starts an uncomfortable conversation for me. So I just sit there through it. But in my mind, I'm like, this is painstaking. I just want to take the thing and go. Like, I don't, but they're doing their job. And I, you know, Apple Store employees do a great job. I will say, if you do work for Apple corporate, you might want to talk to your retail stores and tell them to not say to people that there's no difference at all between the M5 Vision Pro and the previous generation, regardless of how true you might think that is. because we just spent 20 minutes talking about how there are a lot of good changes. Just it's not super noticeable when you look at them side by side. It's not noticeable at all because there's nothing different about the physical product.
I think one thing I've always enjoyed about Apple stores is you can have good conversations with the people that work there.
Absolutely.
About the products. And so I do appreciate it that a lot of the time Apple employees are not just singing from the hymn sheet and just giving you a sales pitch. Because sometimes I have had that. Like I told you about that experience I had where I was looking at the AirPods Max and I was saying to my friend, oh, yeah, they're basically no different to the previous gen. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you still have everything on Lightning, just pick up a, you know, a cheaper version by the old ones. An Apple employee came up to me having overheard that and said, no. They are different. They support lossless now. You can't say they're the same.
Yeah, that person doesn't know what lossless means and knows how to achieve
it. And it's like, I those are the interactions that I don't appreciate, but the ones that I do are where, you know, they can have a conversation about what Meta's offering and they will be honest about, you know, I've also had it where people will say, oh, you know, you don't need to upgrade right now. Your current device is fine. And when I hear conversations like that, I actually think that's really good because it builds trust between the customer and the company. And I actually think generally Apple has been pretty good at that in its history because I think it does build that environment for more natural conversations with the people that work there, at least most of the time. I mean, if I was an Apple employee, I would hate doing Vision Pro demos because you've got to clean it. You've got to put the little like piece of tissue around the light seal every time. You've got to, if someone has glasses like I do, you've got to take them off the customer, put them in the machine. Then someone in the back room has got to like put the lenses in.
All for you not to buy it.
Like pair it on the iPad if it's not pairing. Like, can you put it on? Can you see this? Can you see that? It's such a whole thing. Oh. It's not like you see this MacBook, just go try it. Yeah, it's thinner than the other one. Maybe you might like it, maybe you might not.
They go through all of this for you not to buy it. So you know what, Hartley? The next time you go in to test it, you better buy it because they're just putting in hours of labor for this process. I do appreciate Apple Store employees. I've always had wonderful interactions. You know, obviously, like what you said, I've heard somebody say the other day that the AirPods Pro 2 were better than the 3s in their opinion. They just thought it sounded better and fit better for them. And honestly, that's not the first person I've heard say that. That's another conversation I think we should do. There's some AirPods Pro 3 issues that we need to tackle. But yeah, and shout out to the employee that was very nice to my kids a few weeks back when I was getting an Apple Watch band for my wife for her birthday. They came up to me and were very nice. And my kids actually now think I'm relatively cool because I got recognized as a YouTuber. And they're like, he makes stupid tech videos. Why is that cool? And then when this happened, they're like, oh my God, are you like Mr. Beast? And I'm like, no, not at all. But in this very specific, in this very specific instance, at occasional Apple stores, this will happen. And so, yeah, but shout out to all the Apple Store employees. We see you. And shout out to the Vision Pro engineers because you did a good job on this update. I don't know that it's going to move the needle or sell anything, but it's still a good product for what it is. Is there anything you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
I would say that the chances of me buying this Vision Pro are higher than they were for the previous gen.
But it's still a no.
For now, it's a no. But I can totally imagine me waking up in the middle of the night in 2 months and thinking, "Nah, I'll just buy one." I kind of want it.
I got a couple of cross-country trips that might happen here in the next month. I might take it with me for the first time. By the way, guys, I have never once traveled with my Vision Pro. I will still stand here and look you straight in the eyes and say that I am very self-conscious to be wearing that gigantic thing on my head. I think at this point now I don't care anymore, and I need to make a 4+ hour flight better. And I think that is one way in which I can do that, especially if I want to get work done without people seeing what I'm doing. And editing yourself on a screen next to somebody 3 inches is just always a weird experience. And so I would prefer to do that in isolation and watch whatever content. Don't have to worry about, is it inappropriate for children around me? I don't know, just stuff like that. So I'm going to give it a shot, I think. I think I need to finally start traveling with it because that is probably a huge thing for people who own it and use it. They probably love doing that. So I just need to step up and do it. It's also just hard to put in your bag when you've got camera gear and all this other stuff. It's not like the case is small. It's not a small footprint. There are other cases out there, but the Vision Pro case that you get from Apple is so nice that I want to take that with me, but it's like its own carry-on bag to begin with. So maybe we need to work on that. But yeah, would love to hear from you. Maybe next week I'll give a quick update. If you guys want to hear it, let us know in the comments on the new Galaxy XR headset, because you know, that is another option now for people out there, especially if you're in the Android ecosystem. But yeah, we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.